The last time we met on the Word for Life radio broadcast, we were talking about making a difference in our children and allowing them to look at godly discipline and understand the importance of being disciplined, the importance of self-discipline, and the importance of Holy Spirit discipline. We were talking about allowing our children to be learning through biblical principles of instruction. We came to the point that we said when a child continually disobeys, that child's in sin. We'd all say, well, yeah, that's true. But when we as parents continually allow our children to disobey, we also are in sin. Well, that brings me to the next point. We need to require eye contact and a verbal response. You see, that helps the child to stop and pay attention to what we're saying. Eye contact and a verbal response. So that we know they've heard us, they know that they have responded in the correct way, yes, sir, or no, ma'am, or right away, or whatever. Now, when we do have to reach the point of discipline that would involve spanking, sometimes people will say, well, Pastor Greg, how do I know when to spank my child? There were three things that my wife and I would use kind of as a foundation for that final decision, and one of them was direct disobedience. Direct disobedience. When our children knew exactly what they were supposed to do or not do, and they just simply directly disobeyed, then from the Word of God, we see that God disciplines His children for that very cause. And so consequently, we must discipline our children for the very cause as well, direct disobedience. Secondly, is disrespect. Disrespect. Whether it be disrespect for their brothers and sisters, disrespect for us as parents, disrespect for other authorities in their lives, disrespect. And the third one was dishonesty. We would discipline our children for dishonesty. Now, as we consider the proper kind of discipline and being consistent in that discipline, it is our goal that by the time they reach their teenage years, that kind of spanking and discipline, things like that, is no longer necessary. So when they become teenagers, it is our goal now to be a coach who is on their side. And somebody will put it this way, be on their side and not on their back. Be on their side and not on their back. And that's exactly what a coach is. A coach is a person who cares more for the player than for the victory, who coaches the whole person, a person who stays with the team even after a losing season. Are you identifying with that? See, that's what we as parents have to do. We are coaches, and there are times that our teenagers may have a losing season, so to speak, or they didn't have a victory and they faced some defeats. But you know, God wants us to be faithful in continuing to be on their side and showing them just a supportive love. Because let's face it, when teenagers reach the teenage years, they many times are not convinced as to who they are or who they're going to become. And they need us to show them unconditional commitment. I'll say that again. Unconditional commitment. In other words, we ought to be able to share with them that no matter what, you are and always will be important to me. Even when they get kicked out of school, to be able to say, we're going to work through this together. I'm here with you. We're going to be spending some time in God's Word, studying the principles of the Word of God that maybe we're weak on, but I'm here with you. And no matter what, you and I are always going to be together in this. That's unconditional commitment. Now, you see, you remember Job in the Old Testament? He didn't have that. His friends were friends as long as everything was going well. But when everything fell apart, he had no friends. Job did not have friends. John Mark had it from Barnabas, his uncle. Can you imagine where John Mark would have wound up if no one had taken a personal care and concern about him? You remember John Mark left Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey? We're not really sure why he left, but he just went back home. And so after that first missionary journey was over, and Paul and Barnabas were getting prepared to take off and go on another trip, Barnabas said, let me get John Mark. Paul, you remember, said, oh, no, he quit us. I'm not taking him again. And it was so important to Barnabas that John Mark have a second chance, that he was willing to split from the ministry of Paul and have a ministry of his own so he could take John Mark with him. I'm so thankful that he did, because it was after that that Paul, later on in his life and ministry, said, send Mark to me. He is profitable to me for the gospel. How'd that happen? Barnabas, who had an unconditional commitment to invest his life so that John Mark could have a second chance. And, oh, by the way, he wrote one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yes, the same Mark. You see, if Barnabas had not shown an unconditional commitment for Mark, that would have been all we ever heard of him. And that may be true of your teenagers as well. They need to see supportive love, even when things are not going well. You remember the prodigal son? That's the kind of love he had from his dad. He knew that when his dad saw him coming home, he knew that his arms would be wide open. He knew that he would be received back. And he said, my father has servants that have plenty to eat, and I'm going to go back and offer to be a servant. The prodigal son experienced unconditional commitment from his father. So we as parents, in our discipline, when the rod is not enough, when it doesn't seem to be working, we need to be showing our teenagers unconditional commitment. And secondly, we need to schedule times just to spend with our family. Now, when I was starting a church and my boys were very young, I could take a day off during the week because they weren't in school. But when they reached school age, many times I would be out on visitation on Saturday, but that was their day off. And there were times that I would say, oh, but, you know, I can get so many visits made on Saturday. And back in those days, many times people would be at home cutting their grass and working around the house and things like that. But yet I decided, you know, my children and my time with my children may be more important than these visits that I'm trying to make. Sometimes I would take one of the boys with me to make a couple of visits, but I decided I'm going to start taking time off on Saturday. Why? Because I wanted my boys to understand that they were important to me. And that's also seen when you take family vacations. Family vacations, time together. And when you take family vacations, don't be focusing your attention on everybody else around you. Make them family vacations. You see, time spent on our children is probably more important than money spent on our children. And I would just also throw in there, attend most of their sporting activities. When they're involved in sports or maybe academic activities or fine arts activities, be there. I will never forget playing football in the 10th grade. In the 10th grade, nobody ever came to our games. They were right after school. Nobody was ever there. And I'll never forget going out for a pass one time. I caught the pass, turned around to run toward the goal line, and saw my dad on the sidelines of the football field cheering his heart out by himself. But I knew Dad had taken off work to come and watch me play. Wow, let me tell you what. I have never forgotten that. That was about 52 years ago, but I remember it to this day because he made the sacrifice to be there for me. That just reminds me that we as parents need to be available for them. In other words, if you're involved in something that you just can't be interrupted in, let them know how soon you can be. Don't just shove them off and shoo them off. Let them know how soon you can be interrupted, because you want to be a part of their lives. You see, they need you more than they need your money. And then when you're spending time with them, listen to them in an understanding way. That means eye contact. And then let me say this. Never interrupt them. Never interrupt them. So many times when our teenagers are talking to us, we feel like we've got to interrupt. We feel like we've got to throw in our understanding or our side or whatever it is. That is so rude. God doesn't interrupt us. Never interrupt them. Let them know, I care about what you're saying and I care about you. Teens need to know that you are on their side and not on their back. You see, it's natural for them to challenge our authority. It's their old nature. But many times they challenge our authority because they want to know how firm we are in the decisions that we've made. They want to know, are these things that we will live consistently with? And they will naturally challenge us to just see what is the strength of our resolve, because they respect strength and courage. And as we are strong, as we are consistent, then we will see their respect for us growing in our lives. That doesn't mean that there won't be times that they say unkind things and hurting things designed to hurt us. But we have to be like shock absorbers. When the shock comes very quickly, we have to be coming back slowly in our responses, because we are to be the mature ones, even when they are acting in an immature way. And it's always important to distinguish between willful disobedience and just childish irresponsibility. Sometimes our kids are just too tired. We've put them through too much. And so we need to let them know we understand what you're going through. We understand why you feel the way you do. But after the confrontation is over, reassure them of your love. Reassure them that you will always be there for them and pray with them and pray for them. And assuring them of your love and your support and the fact that you believe they can change, they can improve. You know what? They will. Because they'll respond well to your encouragement and your words of strength and your words of patience. I trust that you'll begin to understand how important these truths are as you seek to show godly discipline to your children, and they will see the benefit of it, not just today, but the rest of their lives. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.